for our final show, our outside performance for the RAC concert. And then we started fresh again in 2019. And along the way, we had a number of guys playing with us. And some people could travel to the eastern part of the state and southern part of the state. And some people couldn't because of their jobs or whatever, so they would play locally. So in 2019, we did another tour, not quite as big, but we hit quite a few prisons as well. And not playing the Folsom Prison record anymore, but still concentrating on Johnny Cash, because the thing that we figured out early on was Cash's activism and the reason he was giving his time to people that were incarcerated. And we were trying to follow in his footsteps, I guess, a little bit, and see people inside as human beings worthy of proper treatment and attention. And
so one of the things that came out of that experience of going around and meeting people and playing music is that there's just this, that a huge part of a concert is it's a relaxed activity. It's fun. And people are relaxed. And so the other part of it is that we started cultivating stories with people. And so we started trading stories and hearing stories that we could then tell. And so we decided that what made sense was, in between playing with our Luther's Boots, the first season and the second season, where we're still trying to raise some money so we could pay musicians to go into prison, Danny and I were asked by Vancouver School of Arts and Academics to come in and talk about our project. And so we put together a musical lecture, and Danny picked some of the songs from the Folsom album. And then I told stories of folks we met inside. And so we kind of created what we call the musical lecture, whereas we could start humanizing the experience of not just what it is to play music inside, but what it means to people to hear music inside and to have a moment where they actually have, an hour to kind of forget they're in prison and actually be at ease for a moment. And so we took that and turned that into a performance that then we took to some high schools and some colleges, and then back into prison in April of last year, to sort of continue to have an opportunity to visit some of the different facilities where we've been until we could bring in and pay our musicians, go back to some more facilities.
And so how was the tour going around to all these facilities? And also I wanted to ask if, you had been inside any facilities, before that, any of those experiences, or either way, kind of what that looked like as time progressed, going into different facilities and just kind of like the different experiences aside from even just the performing aspect of it.
In 2018, neither of us had ever been to a prison before. Our first time was just walking in the Columbia River Correctional Institution to meet with Elizabeth LaCarney to organize the first concert. And that was the first time that we'd been there. We didn't know what to expect. And I think we were pretty nervous. And we kind of quickly got used to it. And it turns out, I'm gonna let you answer sort of the rest of this, but every prison we've been to, I don't think we've been to every one of them in Oregon. I think we've missed two, but everyone is so different. Mm-hmm. Everyone is so different, not only the security level, but how the administration, people run it. And it's kind of an interesting thing every time we walk into it.
Yeah, I would say it's nuanced, that you just, it's a different, Lakeview is a different animal than Oregon State Pen. But one of the things that happened rather quickly for us is that we found a little bit of a home at Oregon State Pen. And because that prison is actually quite different than the others in that they have a club system. And so the adults in custody there have opportunities to organize their own fundraising and their own social events and some of their own at-ease activities. And so quickly we developed relationships with a couple of those different clubs, and which then turned into Danny and I going once a month, becoming volunteers and going once a month to start a storytelling group, and we work with men, and we developed that project, which has led to some other things. So what started as touring and kind of having a superficial kind of relationship where you go in for a couple of hours and you have this really lovely conversation with a few of the people in the audience, we realized that we wanted to get all through the state, but we also wanted to have a way of digging in and creating a relationship within the institution. Mm-hmm. And so Oregon State Penn became one of those institutions. And then we just recently received a regional arts and culture grant to do a sister program at Coffee Creek. And so we'll start building a storytelling group there.
One thing that actually, backing up just a little bit, as we would, you know, we were nervous the first time we went in, but it was really fast how we realized how open and welcoming all the incarcerated people were, and the vast majority of the staff was excited to have people who were willing to come and spend their time and treated with just such respect by everybody concerned.
Right.
And really, really well cared for. It really kind of, that nervousness that we had going in was kind of quickly taken care of because people were really concerned about how we felt in there and wanted to make things comfortable for us. And so it was really nice.
And just to play off that, also we ended up, the volunteer coordinator that usually brings us in, checks our gear, all those things, then would connect us with a team of adults in custody who would help us with sound. A lot of times we could plug and play the equipment we could use, and even a drum kit. So we could come in a little more, like there'd be a stealth entry, and we were then able to actually spend a couple hours set up with a group of folks and talk to them and work with them, so that there was some camaraderie that would develop.
So the question that Tracy doesn't sing or play, but the question that I would get asked all the time is, what's it like to play to a group in there, mm-hmm. versus playing on the outside? And it is actually, in pretty much every instance, it is more fun than and welcoming, and people are more attentive than anywhere I've ever played on the outside. They're really appreciative of that. But for us, that part had less meaning than all the time before and after the actual playing, because that's the time where this small group of people that are helping us set up and whatever, we're talking to them and working with them, you know, shoulder to shoulder, you know, setting up the gear, and they're helping us do sound and all that kind of stuff. So we get to know them in a different way. And that's always the most meaningful part of it, is having sort of that more closer personal contact, you know, and being able to just talk to them as human beings, which then sort of led to this class that we started down at Oregon State Penn last year. So it has nothing to do with music anymore, but it's a sort of storytelling class, and I'll let you talk a little bit more about that because it's your baby.
Well.
Or not.
I don't know.
But anyway, it's those relationships, not during the show itself.
Yeah, how often is the storytelling show? How long is that going on for? You said 1 year?
Yes, 1 year, I believe. So we were going once a month, and then every now and then, maybe coming in mid-month for a social activity or something on the activities for Oregon State Penn. And then in March, everything came to a screaming halt, and with the COVID lockdown or close out of volunteers. And so we had been developing some momentum with our group, and we had just received a really generous grant from Spirit Mountain Community Fund to take the work that we've been doing with the guys and creating a video that we would that we were planning on bringing outside, whereas the guys speak for themselves. And
so part of the class was to this project that we had been formulating in our head, and we brought it up to the guys in the class early on. And Tracy, being a writer and a good teacher, was trying to help the men inside in our small class develop different ways of telling stories. So sometimes we talked about fairy tales, sometimes we talked about songwriting, myths, things like that. And we ended up some projects. But the ultimate goal of it, well, not the ultimate goal, but part of it was to do this video project. And if we back up to what Tracy said earlier about this Vancouver School of the Arts, when we did our musical lecture up there, the kids were so interested in what we were doing and the people that we had met, and that their teacher, we talked to him, and he had them compile all of these questions and that they would have for the men inside, men and women inside. And from that, we had this idea, and we talked to our group down in Oregon State Penn if they wanted to answer these questions and then how we might go about it. And so we basically applied for a grant from Spirit Mountain and received it, although we haven't been able to do all the work yet, to create a video of these kids' questions being asked and the men, and hopefully some of the women as well, answering them from their perspective. Not in any kind of a scared straight kind of a way, not just, you know, there's a different perspective of, you know this from talking to people inside yourself, that they have, that's so different from what most of us I see out here.
Right. So it sounds like part of like where the project has gone is into like community awareness around mass incarceration and
trying to, yeah. Nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like we knew that we were going in, and we knew that we were going to do this one thing. And then one of the big parts of, I think, doing a project like this is just sort of being open to what the next response would be. And so the first response was to go in and listen and hear stories. The second wave of that was then to come back to the community and share those stories and try to create a bridge between the people we met and the experience we're having, and start to broadcast those voices out. And then the next sort of wave was coming back in, and with our class, one of the things we do is we sort of carry things from the outside and bring them in, and that sometimes is the Hank Willis Thomas show at the Portland Art Museum. We put together basically a video tour of that show to show the guys in the class. So it's this way of like bringing things that are happening that are relevant outside, bringing them in to kind of open a window for them. And then now it felt natural to create a platform for them to actually tell the next layer of story themselves. And so I feel like there's been that kind of, there's just been kind of this nice fluid movement that is sometimes difficult to articulate, but makes a lot of sense to us about how the projects develop. And then the other part of it is that when you have something that in your life that is meaningful and interesting, there's other ways of processing. And so Danny then has been responding as a musician, and I feel like we should talk about that.
Oh, we're quite ready yet.
You weren't?
No.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to go back to something, your question though, Adam. That first year, it wasn't so much about awareness. It was within our small group of friends and family and people that we know who know that we're doing this thing. But yes, you're right. It sort of, in the year two, when we started doing the lecture to schools and things like that, it really was about showing a different light on the folks that are inside. And that had a lot more meaning to us expanding out on that. And so yes, with the class and the video that we're trying to do a little bit more of that, while still keeping good stuff going in there for mm-hmm. them when we can.
Yeah. So for folks just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. We're here with Danny Wilson and Tracy Schlapp, founders of the Folsom 50 Project. And there's so many moving parts to this project, actually. One of them, of course, first and foremost, is the music. And I think that was one thing, kind of getting back to the music aspect of it. Two things is talking about sort of the musical, your musical kind of background, I guess, and how this came about, and what is the musical aspect of the project look like as far as the musicians and how that came together. And then we got a clip we can listen to after you tell us.
Background, boy. I don't know, I played piano since I was in third grade. Not that well. And a few years ago, I started playing acoustic guitar, and as I got to middle age, deciding that if I was ever gonna play and sing in front of people, I better get cracking at it. And so started doing that, and was playing in a group when this whole thing started, this earlier conversation we had about the offhand comment that I made. We pulled initially some instructors in from the Lake Oswego School of Rock. I don't know if you're aware of that organization, but that's where I had been taking some lessons, and that and those people are great up there. And so I got a couple of those guys to come and play with us initially. Tracy had a good friend who was a good female singer that also joined our group. And that was sort of that first band. Not everybody could travel, like I said. We actually, then we tapped in some other friends of ours. And the current lineup has actually a couple of young gentlemen that are on the program, but they're both also kind of rockers at heart and can play a variety of things. And so it's they're a lot more flexible because they're young and single, and they're easy to go to Eastern Oregon if we need them and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Great guys.
But collectively we call the band Luther's Boots, and then we've just had a variety of boots that join. And so the band has had this, over the 3 years, has had this lovely sort of morphing of, so that a lot of people have then also had the experience of coming in and doing this project. And as a result, I think the people that we've worked with have really found it to be quite meaningful to come in and have a chance to play for the audience. And so we love sharing that with different musicians. And a big value of the project is that we were always would pay musicians for their work. And so that's a big part of the fundraising we do, is simply to pay for the room and board, and if we go out of town, but also to pay them something to play.
So I had another band, not at the school, but and I'd been starting to write my own songs, and for a couple of years, and continued writing all during this process. And they weren't necessarily a direct response to who we saw and who we talked to and things like that. Had a lot of Johnny Cash influence. But anyway, I ended up writing a number of songs, and the current lineup and I recorded all of them in January. And
Shady Pines.
At Shady Pines Media, which is a little studio, a good friend of mine up here in Portland, that do really good work. So there's a couple songs that are specific about Johnny Cash and his life. I took some things out of his biography that ended up being songs. Not anything necessarily directly about prison, definitely not anything about anybody we've met, wouldn't do that. But somewhere along the line, I had the idea, if we back up to last year when we didn't have enough money to really go do concerts and pay all the guys, we went down, Tracy and I went down to the prison in Lakeview, and I sent them 15 Johnny Cash songs, because they have a decent little chapel band down there, and asked the chaplain if he could get these guys to learn these songs, and that I would come down and I would practice them with them for a day, and we would put the concert on with me and them playing. And Chaplain Friend is his name.
He's just awesome.
He's an awesome guy.
Really good.
And a great musician himself. And so we did that. I can't remember when we did that, in the end of the summer last year.
It felt like a real leap of faith to go down, and I did a workshop, a print workshop, while Danny was practicing with other guys, and we didn't kind of, you know, it was just one of those things where, like, this could be great, or we could be playing for an entire yard of men,
And then we also had done our lecture down there a couple times, and our musical lecture, and we did a small group. Anyway, one of those, before the lectures, they took the chapel band just as an a cappella group and did a couple of songs. I'm sorry, they had an acoustic guitar too, but they did these beautiful harmonies. Four or five guys just doing beautiful harmonies. What was the Eagles song they did?
Oh, yeah.
Take It to the Limit?
Yeah.
Made her cry. And she hates the Eagles. No offense, Eagles. But it was so beautiful what they were able to do.
Yeah.
And anyway, a couple of these songs, one of them is called Jack's Song, and it had this sort of churchy feel to it. And that is actually one that's kind of a story from Cash. It's about his older brother who died when Johnny Cash was 8, I think. Jack Cash was 14. And anyway, I borrowed something that Jack had said when he was dying and made it into the chorus of the song. But it just felt like it could use some backup and made us think, if we can get that choir down there to do that for us, wouldn't that be cool?
So wouldn't that be a thing?
Got a hold of Chaplin Friend and Trevor Stancliffe down, who was also important down at Warner Creek, and somehow they got it approved. And I had the music already recorded, and we took my handheld Tascam down there and we set up mics and spent the afternoon with these guys recording this choir part for that song. And just,
it's really special.
Yeah,
it was really special to share that with them.
It was amazing. Yeah.
So now you're gonna have some online components videos for the project as well. What other stuff can other ways people can check out what you have on online for now, since programming's a little bit stalled for COVID-19, well, with Folsom 50 and COVID-19.
Yeah, the COVID thing's a problem, isn't it? We're going to release originally, in early May, we were going to release that record and have a show and everything, but obviously that didn't happen. So two things that we have coming up. Through Media, they actually started their own internet radio station about a month ago. And so we're gonna actually do a listening party on June 12th. And then on June 17th, we're gonna do a live stream on Facebook and YouTube as well.
Great, okay.
And that will be, it's a Wednesday, June 17th from like 6 to 7. And it's gonna be our record release. So we'll play a couple other songs. We're basically gonna play the record start to finish. Won't have the choir, but
yeah, we'll. But that will be, it will be recorded, and our intention then is to arrange to have that recorded concert then distributed, because there's inner prison television networks, and so we'll work with different folks to get that played inside till we can come back and do it live.
Great. Any other links just to share?
So we'll make do.
Well, we'll have it on Facebook, Folsom 50 on Facebook, Folsom 50 on Instagram. So we'll put those up. This is the first time we've talked about it actually with anybody. We just arranged all this the last couple of days in lockdown.
Okay. And any new literature on the rise? You had some really interesting print materials for the original project that I remember seeing. And are you continuing to put
right
those
here
together too?
Well, here's the mock-up of it. Yes, there is. So the I think the record is going to be officially released on the 12th, which is that listening party that we're going to have with Shady Pines. Mm-hmm. And Tracy actually has a really lovely essay that she wrote, which recaps some of the stuff that we've just talked about, actually, and then talks about, it's the new version of that, but it's going to be contained within the record release as well. And that it's going to be on iTunes and Spotify and everything like that. But we're also going to try to sell this beautiful, we gave you a book, I think, last time we were there, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So another similar type of book.
Handbound book. So I have an old letterpress that I work on. And one of the things that we do for each show is I bring handmade playbills with an essay to contextualize the show. And then I hand that out to all the adults in custody in the audience. And the first year we made 2,500 of those. And so we keep that as something that we keep doing. So we will have those for Darker Road Ahead.
All right.
Well, hey, thanks so much, y'all. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Big thanks to our guests. Check out the Folsom 50 Project. Thanks to our engineers. And free them all.
Somebody help me, set me free. I can't take this new reality. How much longer can it be? Where's the humanity? I look around and all I see, masked faces staring at me. Keep your distance, don't touch me. Get your hands off my teepee. Somebody save my sanity. The COVID killer's coming after me. How much longer will it be? Where's the humanity? I'm sick and tired of staying at home. Even worse, I live alone. Gotta get out, I need to roam. You can't shake hands on the phone. I need to touch, I need to feel, I need to hug a friend for real. I'm not down for this new deal. I'm not down for this new deal. The COVID killer keeps piling it on. Counting the dead goes on and on. We gotta stay safe, gotta be strong. Ride this out no matter how long. There's no borders, there's no walls. Alone together, we stand, we fall. Around the world, hear the call. Alone together, we stand, we fall. Somebody help me, set me free. I can't take this new reality. How much longer can it be? Where's the humanity? Somebody save my sanity. The COVID killer's coming after me. How much longer will it be? Where's the humanity?
Thank you. Cebu Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio